I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Circuit of the Americas, welcome to Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas. Brought to you by Hagerty.
Welcome back to Circuit of the Americas. We've got breaking news of our own.
Oh, a rookie
has won the IndyCar race.
Dare we say from the rookie party?
Yeah.
An 18-year-old rookie.
An 18-year-old, youngest ever. What was that tweet from IndyCar? 18 years, 11 months, and 22 days, just became the youngest IndyCar winner ever right here at the inaugural race at Circuit of the Americas.
Impressive accomplishment to put on his resume there, yeah?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did you see him? He was just, he was almost shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was incredible. So I just, we talked about him all weekend. We had, we had him on the show before, probably 2 or 3 weeks leading up to.
You bet.
And of course, here in Austin, before, at the practice, he led every session. We knew he was fast. I remember the very first day of practice here at COTA, I saw him. I was standing in the middle of the media center on the big, huge screens here, and I looked up at that, and I tweeted it out. I said, this kid is fast. And sure enough, he has won this race.
Well, there's no doubt that he's fast. That's why he's a winner. But there were some circumstances around his win as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a little bit tricky. So, willpower leading the entire race and then coming in after the melee of a pit stops because of Rosenqvist and Hinchcliffe coming together, blocking the pit lane. And we knew it was going to put Herta in a great position. But then willpower having technical problems. He said he thought it was an input shaft. He heard some grinding of
some
sort.
That's right. Just as he was attempting to leave pit, they pushed him and went nowhere.
Heartbreaking end to his race there.
Yeah, well, stay with us because we're going to be on the air for about another hour, and we're going to see if we can get Colton or anybody else through the studio here out at COTA.
You bet. We're a very convenient location, so it's pretty easy to find us.
We are not far. We're watching them on the big screens out here, and wow, what an amazing story, his family in racing, but still, it's just a great story.
Track invasion is definitely taking place. If you're listening to your transistor radio out here through us, we appreciate you being with us.
Transistor radio.
There were some guys carrying them around for the earbuds. Appreciate you tuning in all weekend and listening to everything that's going on. Track invasion is open. Folks are headed out for the podium celebration.
Yep.
So a great time to be up here in the front of the track.
Yeah, well, this has been a really very successful weekend. We had threat of rain all weekend long, and we really got away with almost zero rain. And just wondering how the track was going to be compared to what we've seen. And we saw that there was limited traction and all the cars dealing with it. But you know what, guys? Let's run down the list in case just talk a little bit about it. But so obviously Colton Herta, the rookie, won the race, followed by Joseph Newgarden, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Graham Rahal, Sebastian Bourdais, Marco Andretti, Takuma Sato, Patricio Ward, the other rookie, in eighth place, Alexander Rossi, one of the favorites, in ninth place, Jack Harvey, Spencer Pigott, Tony Kanaan, Scott Dixon, Ed Jones, Marcus Ericsson, James Hinchcliffe, Matthias Laist, Kyle Kaiser, Simon Pagenaud, Santino Ferrucci down in 20th, Max Chilton 21, Zach Veach, Felix Rosenqvist, and of course Will Power didn't finish. Man, was Will Power dominant for most of this race?
He looked great. He absolutely looked great. You know, right up to his last pit stop is one that occurred really just a few laps from the end.
Yeah, 14 laps to go.
He was on his way to it. It was something else.
Yeah, that really, it's just sickening. In fact, I wrote down some notes when Will Power was was in the pits, he said, I just want to have a normal season without this sort of crap, is what he said. So, all right, we got to take one more break, and then we're going to have a lot more to come from here at Circuit of the Americas with the IndyCar race. Going to have some drivers. Who else? We're not sure yet. Special guest, you're listening to Speed City's coverage live at Circuit of the Americas, back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Hagerty.
Welcome back to Circuit of the Americas. It's Sean Massengale sitting in the booth with Wes Kaiser Sean Hagerty from Sean Walker from Hagerty. I've done that before, haven't I? Man, you were right, Les, about the fan invasion. The fans are swarming down by the podium. Really decent crowd. We had no expectation of crowd. We didn't know what was going to happen. There's so much going on in Austin. But
I'm going to take credit. I think I got it right. So much of an American history around the IndyCar series, they showed up.
Yeah, I think
fans,
they showed up.
The cars, the drivers, the legends. I was speaking to Al Unser Jr., Willie T. Ribbs, Murray Andretti.
I'll tell you what, Turn 12 showed up too.
Yeah, they did. Turn 12 Pato Award. Man, he had a big crowd over there. Hey, let's talk about a little bit what action during the race. You know, I was fascinated to see what was going to happen with the lack of track limits. And right off the bat, on the opening lap, Scott Dixon went wide on turn one.
Absolutely. You know, that was really interesting because we were suspicious. Now, I called Scott Dixon as my candidate that might win this because he just really wanted to, way beyond just normal competition, he just had it out for this when we spoke earlier. Taking that wide, they kind of relieved track limits on turn one and turn 19 because of the crowding. They did a couple of things there that were unusual. You know, quite often out here we hear those limits called out. But he took advantage of it, made some ground up, but promptly lost it because of other things. But I think that was a smart call on his to begin with for that approach.
Yeah, and also on that first lap, Zach Veach took a spin right there. Was it going into turn three, I believe it was.
Right.
Who came in contact with him? Do you remember that?
I saw that, and I don't recall who came in contact, but he managed to keep rolling, got things pretty well through there. Was a tough crowding situation through those S's. They are absolutely crowded, a lot of side-by-side in the pack, not just up front.
Yep, and there was some really good battles during the race. Do you remember it was about, I think, lap 16 when Pato O'Ward and Graham Rahal just went at it for about 10 turns. I think it was from turn 11 right at the end,
right,
far into the track, and all the way through, and finally Pato O'Ward passed Graham Rahal on turn 19. That was a great battle.
Yeah, those two guys were at it back and forth. Great competitors for each other. The good, clean racing. You know, any touches had to have been light there if they actually did touch. But it was great to see that going on. Love the competitive streak. And that was mixed, honestly, really deep in the field all the way back.
Yeah. You know, something that was fascinating to me was I looked when Colton got out ahead, right after the pit stop debacle, and he got out ahead. There was guys ahead, behind him that had a lot of push to pass, and I thought, wow, because I know Newgarden had at least double what Colton Herta had, and I was watching how Colton Herta was using the push to pass, and he was just using it in little increments. I saw him
short
use
short little bursts.
Yeah, like as little as what 2 or 3 seconds
right.
even, and they weren't. They weren't defensive little bursts because it's not like Newgarden was right behind him. It was pretty good gaps.
I was surprised to see that when Newgarden was 2.5 seconds out with 10 laps to go, he was not on top of that button.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was surprised about.
Yeah, that's a good question. I you know, we do a lot of Formula One coverage and less IndyCar, and I don't know the strategy. Why didn't he just – we'll ask him. We'll see who gets drivers we get in the booth here, and we'll find out why they didn't just, you know, sit on that button for every 20 seconds.
I know that they wanted to keep something in the tank for a possible restart situation.
Yep.
But he had about 115 seconds left when he was 2.5 seconds out, so I'll be interested to hear about that.
Yeah, I know. That was really weird. I don't know why they didn't do that. But, you know, that really shook things up, too, because, you know, Alexander Rossi ended up ninth, and, you know, he'd been in second place for basically the entire race. He and Colton battling for second and third race. And when he got caught and couldn't do the pit stop right then, he was way back. He ended up coming back. I think he came back in at about 20th, but ended up finishing ninth.
He was way back there, and there were a lot of pit stops planned to come up right as that last situation with Rosenquist blocking the pit lane. So it's interesting because there was somebody that made it in there. I'm curious if that's not going to be called out later on, but there's somebody that made it in there. Honestly, after I believe the yellow was turned on, of which I believe would have stopped the pit process, closed the pit lane entry at that point. So we'll see if that comes up or timing was just right for somebody.
Hey, you had those FanVision headsets on listening to all the team radio. That was pretty cool. You had it on scan and we're just going through all of them. What were some of the highlights that you remember from
that? Some of the highlights that were really big I don't know, technically Ryan Hunter-Reay at one point was not answering the wall. I don't know if that was radio or he was just giving them radio silence. But
that's right. He went along.
Point,
he wouldn't respond. Yeah,
kind of went quiet there for a little bit. Definitely recommend those when you're on site to look for those. They were out in front of the grandstand. Like I said, we've been talking about those all weekend. Definitely a great time running through that. Graham Rahal coming up to fourth place in the end. He did a lot of smart management, slow and steady in his changes. There were a lot of things that he was really paying attention. I heard him specifically speaking about folks that might be 3 or 4 cars away. Okay, what is their situation? I just got to say there's a mathematical mind in Graham Rahal that I wasn't aware of. In him having these conversations, drawing data out of his pits, picking up on things, and I think there was a whole lot of thought process to get to fourth place for him.
Yeah, and he probably had some mathematical help coming in through the headset as well.
I'm sure he did, but it was the conversations that he was having was interesting to hear.
Well, I really am excited that Austin got excited about this because there was so much going on this weekend. I guarantee you, there's a lot of sports bars full of March Madness downtown right now. And, you know, there's some political junkies that were sitting watching the political news that was happening. So, and there's always so much to do. That's the one thing about Austin is that there's always a million things to do. Can you imagine?
I think it's spring break, too.
I know, and it's the tail end of spring break, so some people still out of town. But I don't know what the numbers were, but it looked a pretty good crowd. It wasn't a full Formula One level crowd. But, you know, this is also, again, the first season of IndyCar in Austin. And it's going to take a little time. I mean, I had people texting me last night at 10 o'clock about tickets. Where should I get tickets? And so, you know, there's always some of that. And, there's with so much competition, you never know what you're going to expect, you know, to get a crowd.
You bet.
Oh, look at Colton Herta on the stands with his big cowboy hat on. I love that Coda does that.
Love the big hat.
Guys, he just looks like a kid, doesn't he?
He really does. He's 18. You know, you spoke about the crowd.
19 next week.
Yeah.
You spoke about the crowd. I think after this race, after word gets out about this race, We're going to see bigger crowds next year.
Yeah.
How many passes do you think happened today?
All right, so we were at 130-something at the halfway mark. I bet Jonathan Green will join us here in a minute. I bet he'll have that number. He was watching it all race long. But, guys.
Competitive race.
I mean, that's IndyCar.
It was, the overtaking was fantastic in so many ways. Really a great run. The entire field was busy. That's what I liked.
Hey, guys, you know what? Let's go ahead and get one more break in because I want to make sure we've got all the breaks we can put in before we get somebody in the booth in here, because we're hoping to get Colton in the booth and any other driver. We'll get some special guests here in a minute. But let's go ahead and take a break. Yeah, you're listening to Speed City. We're live at Circuit of the Americas for the inaugural IndyCar Classic. Back after these messages.
Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Hagerty.
When we see a beautiful car pass by, we always seem to use a hand signal. The classic thumbs up, the point and shoot six gun finger, the hang loose thumb and pinky combo. If you've ever flashed one of those, now there's a car club for you. Introducing the Hagerty Drivers Club with exclusive members-only events, insight on buying and selling, the Hagerty Magazine, and roadside service. The Hagerty Drivers Club gives you a big thumbs up. So keep flashing those fingers.
Thank you.
Just not that one. Join the Hagerty Drivers Club at Hagerty.com today.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipe since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin, it is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused, but there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370. Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Hagerty.
All right, welcome back to Circuit of the Americas. We are basking in the glow, literally and figuratively. The sun is out, and we're basking in the glow of the inaugural IndyCar race here in Austin. Dream come true. This is John Massengill sitting in the booth with Les Kaiser.
Oh, yeah.
And the man who helped make this broadcast possible, Sean Walker with Hagerty. And, Sean, yeah, we got to thank Hagerty for making this broadcast possible. For title sponsor, we appreciate it.
Well, you are very welcome, and thank you for having us.
Yeah, I said earlier, classic car insurance. It's not just classic car. It's collector car and cool car. I think cool car is the best way to describe what you guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at this point, insurance is just one sliver of the things that we're doing. We're doing events. We're doing magazine, digital content, evaluation tool.
Hill Country Cruises.
Hill Country Cruises. We're doing discounts for car stuff like tires and covers and things like that. So insurance is just a small part of our business now.
I know. It's really it's cool because it is kind of an insider's club with being a part of Hagerty. And, you can join without and get some benefits without getting insurance, like you're saying. So we really appreciate it. And have had this happen without you.
You don't have to have the car yet. In fact, it's a smart idea to join before you get the car, because there's a lot of shopping research information. in the Drivers Club.
Absolutely.
And so definitely check into that if you're moving towards getting one.
All right. Well, we're waiting on some special guests. We're going to see if we can get through the booth. We see some of the guys still on the podium, Colton Herta and Joseph Newgarden and Ryan Hunter-Reay, 1, 2, and 3 there. We talked about Graham Rahal. He's a big Austin fan. He had a great race, finishing 4th. And Sebastian Bourdais kind of quietly snuck up to 5th. Marco Andretti. I mean, that's I wonder what his best finish is recently, because that's 6 for him. We haven't seen him on the top. And one of the best stories of the weekend, of course, we've talked a lot about him, is Pato O'Ward, Patricio O'Ward, a rookie and finishing 8th with his fans from San Antonio. Let's see, Alejandro Rossi, we talked about him finishing 9th. Tony Kanaan, what about that, Les? He finished 12th.
You know, I got to say, that's a lot better than I expected of Tony Kanaan. He has been ensuring there was somebody in last place for a lot of this, and I'm glad to see him come through, because he is a better driver than was showing. And it just breaks my heart to see something like that and him lagging and bringing up the back end.
Oh, these guys are on the podium now, all three, Colton Herta, Newgarden, and Ryan Hunter-Reay, and they got the cowboy hats on, but they're holding up the cool new trophy. Do you see that trophy?
Yeah.
That's about 2 feet tall, maybe taller, and for the inaugural IndyCar race here. That was cool. Now they're spraying the champagne on the crowd
there
below.
There goes the champagne.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, a lot of folks were talking about Marcus Ericsson, just seeing, because here's another example of an F1 guy coming into the crew and into the mix, and so it makes good sense. Marcus Ericsson was doing really well here. Got in some bad traffic situations. Wound up pushing him back to 15th. But at one point, he was up well in the front pack. This was a good example of what comes and goes. Now, it might sound like 15th's not all that good, but you know who's right behind him? James Hinchcliffe.
Yeah.
Definitely a front runner. This field is so mixed up from what you might have expected, because it was such a competitive and eventful race, yet very clean.
Hey, let's talk about what happened at the end of the race. We really haven't spent a lot of time on that. So what do we have? 14 laps to go, and Hinchcliffe runs into, really, I think he didn't get penalized for it, but it looked like Hinch's fault when he hit Rosenquist and spun him right in front of pit row.
Well, Rosenquist came outside and tried to come back into the barrier of the boundaries of the track before hitting the grass, and wasn't given any room.
Yeah.
But there was a no result, a no action taken.
Yeah, no action taken, but man, it blocked the pit entrance. I mean, you could get around, but obviously that was, they were not letting cars through, and then they brought in all the tow trucks, that completely changed the complexion of the race, and you knew it right then. You saw that car stopped in the middle of pit entrance, and you said, this is going to change the race.
And one of the things, the complicating factor of that, not only the physical location and the timing with 14 laps left, was that there was right amongst the last pit cycle for the grid, that they came in and things just really, really got shook up. And
well, and those three had already pitted. They had pitted just before, and that's it worked out for them.
So we've just been joined in the booth by Mr. Jonathan Green. He's been on the PA out here. That's the voice you heard if you were out here listening. And Jonathan, one question we want to ask you first, because I know you know the answer to this. How many passes? You did a count at halfway point. You were at 133.
127 at halfway point.
Yeah. Wow.
A third of the way in, we were at, it's just ridiculous. I almost said, try that Formula One, but I didn't.
Oh, sorry. We had your mic down, Jonathan. I'm sorry. You said it was...
Yeah, it was 127 at the halfway point of the race. So I'm going to get a tally on the final race before the end of it. But, I mean, there must have been over 200 passes. What a weekend.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were just talking about the pit stop debacle that happened. I mean, I thought it was Hinchcliffe that caused that problem, but I think he got no penalty.
Well, it was. It's hard to say. A racing incident for two reasons. The reason being that Rosenquist had come alongside him and had passed him, and Hinchcliffe then bounced over the curbs and almost into the back of Rosenquist. So I would say that I would agree with the race direction that was a racing incident, but on any other day, you could have maybe blamed him, but it really didn't matter. What did matter was that the pit lane was closed, and the other three guys, that's Joseph Newgarden, Colton Herta and Joseph and Ryan Hunter-Reay got out because they'd just been pitted, and that meant it was impossible for anybody else. And of course, Will Power's problem, well, we saw that for ourselves. What a shame.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing I heard was what he said, where he thought it was an input shaft grinding. I don't know, did you hear anything beyond that?
No, that was the reason given, and they tried to do everything, but wow, what a shame.
All right, well, we got to take one more break. There's been some big political news breaking, so we got to break into the racing here.
That's right, the rookie won the IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's the Speed City out at Circuit of the Americas for IndyCar, back after these messages.
Grandpa, what do you call this thing again?
It's a 66 Ford Bronco.
I think you got ripped off.
Why is that, honey?
It's got no Wi-Fi, no USB port, no Bluetooth.
Exactly. I guess we'll just have to talk.
Sometimes the best way to connect is to disconnect.
Is that the window button?
It's called a window crank.
Cool. The faster I move it, the faster it goes down.
This moment of escape was created by Hagerty.
Being old is kind of cool, Grandpa.
Works for me.
For people who love cars.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370.
Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Hagerty.
Welcome back to Circuit of the Americas, live for another event, an amazing event, the inaugural IndyCar race at COTA. Man, we couldn't be more excited, and I think the crowd loved it. There's a pretty good-sized crowd. They just got through with the fan walk. The sun is out just for your...
I like
just
the people out standing on the finish line looking at it, taking pictures there. Right. That's cool.
Yeah, the sun is out just in time for your walk back to your car in the heat and the humidity today. But yeah, we had the weather held up, and Jonathan, we haven't had you in the booth. You've been out on the PA microphone the whole time. You know, talk about this kid, this 18-year-old kid. This is amazing.
Literally, he was born in the paddock. I mean, Brian Herta won his first race when he was 33 years old. He's a stalwart to Indy, of course. Brian Herta Racing has been around. They do Rallycross. They do Indy. And Brian's just been part of the paddock. But so, too, is his son. And he was just saying that he, you know, in the last lap, his memories of when he was just a little kid and mum was driving the trailer to karting events and how he was sitting in the pit lane, literally growing up and watching him vicariously through his father's career. And now it's his career and he's the youngest ever. He's 18, not 19. We got it wrong.
Yeah, I heard
that. He turns 19 next week. But I just was talking about the irony. I just said it on the PA. Remember, we crowned Marquez as the youngest two-wheel ever. Now we crown the youngest four-wheel ever. You right here, little old Elroy.
That is so funny because I thought about that. Marquez was the youngest ever to win a premier class. And yep. He did it right here at COTA in 2013. And now Colton Herta. But what was so funny when the announcer called him, said, "Hey, you're the 19-year-old," and he goes, "No,
no, I'm only 18.
He's like, no.
You know, how kids.
Well, you remember that at that age. You
know? I know,
you're
exactly.
Like to be called old. By the way, he's also the first ever IndyCar driver born in the 2000s. Anybody feel old?
Man, what a career this guy must have ahead of him because he's obviously incredibly talented. Yeah, he grew up with it, and I don't know, do you know, did he start kart racing at age five, like a lot of the...
Yeah, he started seven years of age. He's been around, like I said, he's been racing for a long time. He was actually the runner-up in the Indy Lights Championship last year, and so, you know, to Pato. So, you know, the quality of the rookies that have come through, I think that's the story for me of the day, is that this is the new guard, there's no question. I mean, who follows him home? Former champions, you know, Ryan Hunter-Reay and, you know, Joseph Newgarden. I mean, they're established guys now, and so it's just great to see a rookie. And I've been watching the social media coming down, and so many people saying this is a new era, this is a new adventure for Indy, and so exciting.
I know. You know, if you think about the rookies have been a big part of the story the entire weekend and leading up to it. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but you know, Colton Herta led every practice session here in Austin, so we had our eye.
And the other thing is, do you remember Friday? His engine blew up. He missed first practice.
Right.
He missed the whole of second practice.
Oh my God.
So he had less time on track than any other driver. Fact.
And you know, you can't say, well, he just won this because of willpower.
No.
Having a problem, because he was in second or third entire race.
Motor racing is about being in the right place at the right time. You never know what will befall you, and you know, hey, stuff happens all the time.
Well, stuff happens all the time, but what my point is, he's fast, because he was in second or third the entire race. He's battling with Alexander Rossi, who, you know, this is essentially a home track for him, and he's been super fast the last two or three seasons.
You gotta be in it to win it.
Yeah. This is really exciting to see such a young kid. So, yeah, it looks like we're going to have some drivers coming in the booth here in just a minute.
Well, that'll be great.
What other stories, Jonathan?
Pato O'Ward for me to finish in the top 10 in his first race for Carlin Racing. Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And,
I mean,
you know, there's a lot of, I'll say, he had something of a home field advantage with so much family and friends here.
Well, you can't really call it a home field advantage, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
He had a lot of support.
A lot of support. You're right.
It was a bunch out there. That
turn 12 was packed.
Yeah. And that was his section right up there at the end there. So, yeah. Let's see. What else? What about, you know, some of the guys that we expected, like Scott Dixon
Dixon and Ganassi, the team, Rosenquist and Ganassi and Scott Dixon, the two players that didn't, or two guys I expected to do better, was a struggle for whatever reason. I remember Dixon describing his qualifying as messy. So he hasn't been altogether happy with the situation. But there you go. That's what happens. And, they'll bounce back, I'm sure. Great day for Joseph Newgarden, because he now extends his lead in the championship, because he won the first race, remember, and was on the podium again today. So that's a really good start to the season for Joseph Newgarden.
What a fantastic start. I mean, I think of all the different events through the race just were amazing. The battle was really deep. We were saying in the field, all the way from the front to the back, there were serious battles going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The entire time.
Yeah, I mean, when you think that Marco Andretti also had a great result for Andretti Autosport, another top 10 for him, Tony Kanaan coming through from the back, Sebastian Bourdais coming through from the back. I mean, so many really good stories throughout the day. And I tell you what, you know, you always wonder how it's going to be when you take a series to a new track. And because this is well known as a Formula One track, you wonder if the racing's going to be as good or if it's going to put on a show as much as they want. There were worries about the tires. There were worries about the length of the track, because this is the second longest track on the IndyCar calendar to Road America. But, you know, it proved to be just a classic. And it was named a classic, which is always dangerous.
Right.
But it was a classic. And I think now that the crowd was good. It wasn't as good as I'd hoped, but I think it will grow. And I think people will watch that on TV, on NBC, and go, hey, what a place to see a race. Because they can see from the overhead shots, the viewing places, the fun, the bands, Muse in town. I really do think that it'll people who are watching in New York or watching in New Orleans will start saying, hey, I'm coming next year.
Yeah, we talked about that, because I was thinking, wow, we had so many events here at COTA. I thought, well, maybe it'll be a big one right out of the box. And it was a good crowd out here. But it's going to take some time to build it.
I mean, like I said,
there's people just now seeing that it was happening, and people from all over the country thinking, all right, that's another reason to go to Austin, Texas, one of the most, you know, one of the biggest destinations in the country is Austin now, and just another reason to go.
Yeah, it doesn't do any harm that the winner is an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
It's a young town.
I think that'll get more of them here, seeing the young competitors, and for one just kicked his way up to the top step. I think that'll bring a lot of attention
He's a great character too. I mean, we've had him on the show before, and he's so you said on the edge, but I think he's like I said, he's grown up with racing. He tells it like it is, yeah. And I like his style. Joseph Newgarden's the same, Rossi's the same, and it's a real it's refreshing in motorsport to hear guys. And by the way, Colton Herta, let's just put his record here. He already run a Rolex watch.
That's true. We got to remember
so
that.
He's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, not a bad start to 2019. But did you see him? He was definitely still a kid on that podium. He was kind of, with the interviews right out of the car, he was a little bit,
you know. Oh, he was bound to be emotional. Yeah. His father, Brian, was one of the first to hug him. And think about it, what it means for the team, too, because it's a brand new team.
That's right.
Steinbrenner team.
Yeah.
Well, you heard Stuart George was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you could see how much it meant to him. And also, we asked that very question. What are your expectations? Top 10 was what he was saying.
That's right. They were saying top 10. Well, okay.
Top 10.
We'll take it. how about a win?
Overachiever, but you got it.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it? It's not a bad way to start.
Yes, and that name, Steinbrenner, it is that name. Yeah. It's George Steinbrenner IV that is a part owner of this team.
Well, they hit it out the park today.
Yeah. Nicely played.
Thank you. Yes, it is. The Yankees, of course. His father owns the Yankees, and now his son has a winning IndyCar team.
Oh, gosh. So what else, guys? I mean, what about the rest of the weekend? You said it a minute ago, but we had Muse. We had so much going on.
The stadium trucks were a huge success.
Yeah.
So was the MX5 Cup.
Yeah.
Indy Lights was great. We had Oliver Askew on and the pre-show, and great stuff. Really good weekend for him.
That's a great story. Oliver Askew won both races here, both point scoring races. So they
now
just
leads
do
the championship.
Leads the championship. They do both in one weekend. And I said this on the pre-show, but man, those cars surprised me, because I was looking at all the top lap times of all the different series, because all the different ones that come to COTA from F1 all the way down. Well, those cars came in at about a minute 55 on a lap time. And that puts them well ahead of MotoGP. It puts them for sure into the top 10. And this is the Indy Lights car. So that's a fast car, man. That's a 450 horsepower, 1,200-pound car. So, I mean, it's what, F2-ish, LMP1-ish, right around in there.
Just want to put my other hat on for a second, and our other hat. We've been part of the production here. What a show, both by Indy and by COTA. Again, they've proved that they can put on world-class events. There's a lot of pressure when Indy comes to town. They know how to put on a show.
Man.
If you've ever been to the Brickyard, me and Les have been to the 500. Those guys are a well-oiled machine, and when they come, there's a lot of expectations that everything is ready and set, and the crowd get a good entertainment, and they are treated well. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of drink. And plenty of entertainment. And I think COTA pulled it off in spades today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Not only the production side, but, I mean, they're a well-oiled machine top to bottom. And I think that if the fans came out, they probably didn't notice anything, which is exactly what you want. They're just out here having fun, plenty of access to everything, and great, you know, music everywhere. The venue's perfect. And we got lucky with the weather. It's actually probably a good thing that it was overcast all weekend, because that made it nice and comfortable.
You know, what I can't say most of all is just how diverse this series is. You know, I mean, next they go to Barber, which is in the countryside of Alabama. Then you think about Indy, and of course that's so different. Then, of course, June, Texas, up in Dallas. I mean, you know, an oval, nothing like here. And everybody was worried about whether Texas could have two events. I say, yeah, bring it on.
Oh,
it's such
absolutely
a different event. This is a success. It'll only help us to succeed in Dallas more. I think Indy's got the most diverse set of tracks in any series. I love it.
Well, and not only you worry about the number of people coming to each event, the population triangle between Houston, Dallas,
80
Austin,
million,
San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's an astounding percentage of the entire population of the United States. There's no problem with having a couple of races in Texas.
Well, and I also think the appetite for motorsports has been here, but we all had to leave to go to it for so long.
Yeah.
With the Circuit of Americas being right here, and now, you know, we tease them. Took 7 years for IndyCar to get here. Here they are. But I think, you know, this is just another star in the crown for Circuit of the Americas, and it's going to keep on going, I believe.
I do love the fact that with an 18-year-old winner, because that's the segment of the population we need to become the followers of the sport.
Put the game controller down. And
You know, I was watching out my
window.
Or maybe not, yeah.
Well, exactly. I was watching out the window as the track invasion came, and I was really pleased to see a lot of young kids, teenagers, part of the crowd. Obviously, the regular IndyCar fans were part of it too, but the track invasion had a lot of young kids and young people who were obviously taken to this sport for the first time, so that bodes well for the future.
Yeah, so, all right, what else, guys? What else about the race? You know, before you came in, we were talking about, right as you walked in, we were talking about what happened at the pit lane entrance. But let's talk about the strategy of what went on right then. You touched on it a minute ago, but about the way that pit strategy affected everything and what pushed him up, Colton up, and others down.
Well, what was interesting is that you almost expected there to be four or five cautions. I mean, on average, an
sure.
IndyCar race has generally three or four cautions just because somebody gets it wrong or
right.
tangles with somebody else. And given however many overtakes we did have in the end, I mean, like I said, 127 at halfway point. So over 200 overtakes. You're expecting somebody to come together. We saw turn 15, we saw Rossi coming together, with Hinchcliffe. And I mean, there's so many possibilities to cause a major stoppage. We only had one, and that was when Hinchcliffe and Rosenquist came together, and that was a big one too, because Rosenquist hit the barrier and then of course closed the pit lane by default.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, there was some of the conservation of push to pass was interesting. We were
yes.
curious about there, because there were times there that there was a lot left and we only had a few laps left. 3 or 4 seconds behind, seems like you would have been just nailing that all the way around.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Ryan Hunter-Reay said that was the one regret, is that both he and Newgarten had more push to pass at the restart with 10 to go, but Colton got such a good start that every time they pushed it, it just didn't really help them. And so maybe, you know, when they look over the data later, they may say, well, you should have maybe used it a little bit more. But it's such a lottery. You never know, do you? You never know when the caution is. And we heard on the radio them saying to Newgarten, hey, just in case, you may need some push
save
to pass.
One.
Save one.
Yeah,
know?
Maybe Colton just had the right strategy with his short little bursts that John was talking about earlier.
Yeah, looks like I got a text. It looks like we're going to get Joseph Newgarten and Ryan Hunter-Reay coming in the booth here.
That'd be awesome.
But I want to ask them this, but we were wondering about the guys behind Colton. Several of them had tons more push to pass left, but didn't use it. I saw at one point, but couldn't catch him with all that advantage in their push to pass.
Yeah, it really is. It was an interesting race strategy wise because of the lack of cautions and because of what was really interesting to me, because everybody was saying that the reds weren't as good, but what it turned out, i.e. the option tire, the
yeah.
softer tire, was not as good as the premium. And we saw that with Power and Rossi in terms of Rossi being able to catch Power on the reds. But what was interesting, there were other teams and other drivers who actually felt the reds were giving them more performance. So it was really equal in terms of tires. And I've not seen that in Indy for a long time, where you actually have a tire that works for different teams in different ways.
Yeah, I think that was Coda. Because all weekend long, starting with the tire testing they did way back in, January, there was so much discussion about the lack of grip compared to the other circuits that IndyCar goes to. You know, we don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that in 2012 about from F1,
yeah.
but we haven't heard F1 talk about how Coda has less grip than the other circuits around the world. I just find that interesting there, too.
Yep, and the tires they chose, they picked out from Road America, and probably the reason being was that Road America is the longest track, and I think that's really where tire deg comes in, is when you've got a long track, and obviously you've got a lot of right-handers, a lot of left-handers, 20 turns in all, you can imagine with this being 3.4 miles long and only second to Road America, that the tire degradation will be a lot worse. It's interesting that from track to track, and depending on what time of year as well.
Yeah, I know. It's true. And I want to ask these guys that exact question, because it's a little bit baffling to me. But okay, so what about the show? Everybody in Austin, there's a lot of people around the world looking at the lap times for Indy versus F1.
Doesn't matter.
And I know, and it doesn't matter. And the show is so different to me.
It is.
Yes, Formula One is all about the latest and greatest technology, and I love the fact that we have that sport, right? I want to know. I want to know how far can we push technology. I want to know how fast they can make it. And if you notice, the top speeds and everything are not really changing in Formula One, but the lap times just keep dropping with the hybrids and all the aerodynamic changes they've made. But what about the show F1 versus IndyCar?
Well, I'll tell you what, the best line I heard in the whole day was from the Indy Radio Network, where they said the circuit of the Americas has just become the circuit of the Americans, because the top four in the race were all Americans. And that's the major difference between Formula One and IndyCar. We've got major Americans. Yeah, there's a lot of foreigners here in Indy, but the Americans were out on top, and it was an 18-year-old American that won it. Now, that is good for motorsport in this country.
Yeah, that's actually one of the best things. Couldn't be better. American, 18-year-old, double strike, perfect. So, yeah. Yeah, it looks like we got some of the drivers about to come in here pretty shortly. We appreciate you listening to the show. By the way, you can listen to our show every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here in Austin on this same channel. And you can also listen to us. We do a Formula One show, a pre-race and post-race before every single race. Go to our website, Speed City Broadcast, and get all the details there.
Yep, we'll be showing all the Formula One. I'm looking forward to that. Bahrain coming up. Hey, but 3 weeks' time, we got it in two wheels. I know we've mentioned it already, but
I know, GP's can't believe just how around fast the corner. It's coming to Dakota. Yeah, if you haven't got your tickets yet.
Yeah. That's going to be a show, I tell you. It always is, and it's always been one of the best shows, MotoGP. So looking forward to that. Austin, what a week. Tiger Woods is in town next week.
Does he like MotoGP?
I don't know.
No, sorry.
I'm sure. We'll get him in. But, he's got some work to do out there at the Dell Match Play. Looking forward to that. But I think India's established itself, and I think that is the biggest footnote that Bobby and his team can go away with tonight, is that Indy came here. The jury's always out until the event's over, but the jury's, I mean, look at the social media alone.
We need to wait on them. We saw the case.
Yeah.
The race.
I mean, it was really good, and they put on a show, and I think they'll be back, and it'll be a big, big event next year.
Hey, did you hear what Will Power said when he stepped out of the car? He basically said, "I'm tired of this crap," is what he said. He said, he's had a little bit of string of bad luck.
Well, what he doesn't like is the way they close the pit lane, because that's really what killed his race, is that, it meant that he – and forget the problem. That can happen. But if his pit stop had gone correctly, it would have been fine, but he couldn't get in the pits. So that's why Ryan and Herta had that advantage, because they just pitted before the incident.
Yeah. God, that is just so racing. You just never know. I mean, it was just like when, who was it? Santino Ferrucci coming out on the red tires in qualifying at the beginning going, hey, you never know what can happen. That is just motor racing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why the strategists do what they do, and you have to be in the right. That's why Dixon's been so successful, is that he takes advantage, when the advantage is there to be taken. So being a good strategist, choosing the right tires, and just playing the waiting game sometimes can play into your hands.
If you don't follow, if you're on Twitter and you don't follow Circuit of the Americas, and you do, they're pretty good. They're pretty funny. They changed their handle on Twitter a while ago. They're Colton of the Americas now.
Well, I thought it was pretty funny. We started with Colt, and we finished with Colton.
That's right.
Nice.
Colt McCoy. That's right. Yeah, you Longhorn fans. Colt McCoy came out and...
He got a plug-in for the Longhorns, didn't he?
Did he? I missed that, actually.
Oh, yeah. He said, hey, hook 'em horns. Right as before he said, start your engines.
All right, so while we're waiting on a couple of drivers to get in the booth, what else we have on tap here? Oh, yeah, we had a lot of people interacting with us on Twitter in the stands. I always love that. We sent out some hashtags, and people sending their seats in and sending photos of their seats. That's always a great way to interact, and I think Coda does that well on social media as well. Hey, we got some drivers they're coming in the booth here in just a second, it looks like. But, I'm assuming that the... if you're in your car listening, you know what you can
look at? There's a cowboy approaching.
Oh, boy.
There's two cowboys approaching. Come on in, boys. Howdy, hey. Joseph Newgarden's in the house, as is Ryan Hunter Ray.
And they brought us some champagne, too.
Well, that's nice.
There
boys.
A little bit there.
You're looking pretty tall in those hats, boy. You can't they can't get the headphones on with the hats on. Well, guys, thanks for putting on a great show. Was it as much fun for you? That sounds a strange expression, but was it as much fun for you as it was for us?
Well, it was super fun.
Good.
I mean, they gave us cowboy hats.
Yeah, yours pays better than ours too. But
let's hope.
That was a fast seat.
We
today.
Didn't. No one won the $100,000. That's sad.
That's a sad know? Thing.
Sad deal.
That I was hoping to get in on that this weekend. Tonight. Yeah.
What do you think of the track?
Yeah, it's good fun. I mean, it's a great place. It's got fast corners. You know, tight technical sections. It's long. I mean, you get through the first 5, 6, 7, 8 corners, you feel like you've really done something. Then you look down at your dash and you realize you have another 15 to go. You have another 10 to go. So it's a tough place, very challenging, and it's just tough to get it all right. I think that's the hardest thing, to make a mistake.
We were just talking. You guys, we were looking at the push-to-pass. We were doing the P8 coverage, and we were looking at the push-to-pass, and we could see that both of you had a lot with the 10 laps to go, but it just didn't seem like, I don't know, you were trying, but you just weren't getting any closer. What gives?
It was tough. I mean, I think Ryan and me both thought it was an opportunity to get close to Colton and pass him and push him and, you know, make him run out and then basically have the advantage on him. But then for me, it turned into just keeping Ryan behind me. Mm-hmm. You know, Ryan was very quick at the end, and he was pushing me, so I had to, you know, I definitely had to be on my game to finish up. And I just didn't have enough to get with Colton. You know, he really gapped me big on that first lap. That's where he was strong. Their cold tire pace was much better than ours. I thought we looked after the tires better than those guys. So if it was a longer stint, maybe we could have done something with him. But with a short stint, you know, he just kind of ran away from me. I didn't have enough for him. So then I was looking in my mirrors the whole time trying to keep Ryan behind me.
Yeah, and you know, he had that clean air, and we're not allowed to use the overtake on the first full lap.
Ah, that's right.
He was able to take advantage of that, and he did a good job of it. Set aside a big enough gap for us to not be able to close it.
And I noticed that Colton was using push to pass in tiny little increments that last few laps, like even 2, 3, 4 seconds. And it wasn't, y'all weren't right on his tail, so it was just interesting the way he used it.
Yeah, it's the game. I mean, look, you it's at your disposal. You got 200 seconds to use when you want it. You can turn it on and off. So it's managing horsepower at the end of the day. You know, you go, when do we want horsepower, when we don't? So that's part of the game. You know, we all kind of do that. For us, we had so much, so we'd burn it all the way down straights because we could. You just had plenty left.
Sure.
So he was being more conservative, but that's kind of how you use it. You know, it's kind of the fun part of having it at your discretion is you're just managing the horsepower.
It was confusing for me. I've watched a lot of Indy, and it just seemed that some guys were getting great performance from the Reds. Others were getting better performance from the primaries. How was it for either of you?
I think you'd have to pay close attention to the used Reds versus new.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
Okay.
Because once the Reds have gone through a heat cycle, once they've been used in qualifying, and then you use them again in the race, they're significantly their performance has gone down a lot. So you'd have to know, you know, if they're on sticker Reds or if they're on used Reds from qualifying.
Right, okay. We had heard a lot of discussion from you guys, all the drivers, about a lack of grip at COTA compared to other circuits. Is that one of the big things that you think of now when you think of COTA?
It's very low grip. I mean, you know, for us, Ryan was talking about, we got very low downforce on these cars, so it's already slippery. But this racetrack, yeah, it's already worn away a lot. It's very low grip for us. It's part of the challenge, you know, it kind of puts you in a box from a setup standpoint. You don't really think you can make progress on one end or the other of the car. You're fighting both things, you know, where the car is loose, but it's also pushing off the racetrack. So that's the challenge of it. You know, that's what you're dealing with. A little less physical than St. Pete. St. Pete wore me out, but today was a lot easier. You got a lot more straightaways, but it was a challenging track. Very, very challenging to get right.
One of the things that I questioned was the ruling about turn 19.
Track limits.
It's got a long history of track limits discussions there.
Yeah.
What's your feeling? Do you want track limits enforced on that next trip here, or leave them wide open as we saw today?
We just talked about this in the press conference. It's race control had their hands tied. They can't. You don't want a race where race control is interfering all the time, saying penalty, penalty, penalty. So
yeah, true.
We're going to come back with a better solution next year. We'll figure it out.
Bigger sausages?
Something to keep us from having to go out there.
Well, at every race, the very first time a Formula One car hit the track and hit turn 19, everybody to a man. So that turn has been really fascinating to watch.
And two wheels, too.
Yeah, two wheels, too. That's right.
Got to ask you, though, it's going to be a challenge for both of you. You guys are, in some ways, with so many rookies coming through, especially with Colton today, you guys have got some work cut out. These guys are fast. I mean, fast. When you came up from Indy Lights, we all said, you know, look out, here come the new kids. But again, we've got a new crop.
Oh, man. You know, Colton and that Andretti, I mean, Harding Steinbrenner car. I keep messing that up, you know. It's just seems right to say Andretti, but it's a very fast car. He's very good. He's doing a good job in it. And, you know, can't forget guys like Patricio Award.
I know. Yeah.
He looks very strong.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's this, ever since we've gone to this new car, rookies have seemed to do well in it. Mm.
And do you think that's because the Indy Lights car is similar or closer?
I think they're a lot more similar now than they used to be.
Lack of aero, maybe.
And lack of aero, yeah, I think it brings it closer. But I think we need a lot more horsepower. You know, I think the gap needs to be bigger, and we're getting that. To be fair, that's coming. We're going to get another 150 horsepower, 200 horsepower boost, and I think that'll make the jump a bit bigger for these younger guys.
Yeah, when's that boost coming?
I think it's 21.
21,
it's the new,
okay.
The new engine regs. Yeah, the new engine's coming out then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Finally, got a look ahead. Barber next. What are your feelings?
Yeah, excited. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's race three. We're already two deep into this, and it goes fast.
But you're leading.
We've had a good start. We got to keep it up. Barber's always a fun one for me. We've had a lot of success there, so I can't wait to get going.
Talking of success, Belle Isle for you last time out. Is it starting to get the start of the season that you want?
Yeah, I mean, we had a good finish to the season, won at Sonoma, and then came to St. Pete. We had a mechanical failure, so it's nice to get some points on the board here. Obviously not as good of a start as Joseph has had, but we need to start looking for a win here.
Ryan's like the king of bad luck.
Hopefully it rubs off on
him. Is that why you're trying to get away from him?
I don't like hanging out with Ryan because he's got something around him.
Not now he's got that cowboy hat.
You know, I was going to say, and I just inspected the cowboy hat. It is a legit Stetson. So
that is. That's a real stuff. That's a real
They're really nice.
It's a real deal.
No, that's the real deal. That's a Stetson, man.
Put that away. Don't let anybody get that.
What do you think this runs?
Oh, that's a couple $100.
Yeah,
easy.
$200 or $300 hat. Easy.
Yes. Nice.
Very easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, we got to ask a question. We've been asking this since the day we went on there. It's one of our favorite
questions. Haggerty question. Here
the
we go.
The Haggerty, what do you drive for fun every day? What's in your garage? What's tucked away? What do you drive? What's for fun?
I have a very cool Chevy Camaro ZL1 LE.
Yeah, ooh, baby.
What year?
Yeah. Like 2018.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's one of the most
It's
amazing.
A manual. You know?
Good.
I have a Honda Odyssey minivan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has, all right. Cool.
It has a vacuum cleaner in it.
Yes.
It has
you rock, Ryan.
A rear camera where I can see all the kids and what
no
they're
way.
Doing. Yeah. Where they're putting their boogers.
How many kids
thing.
You got?
Three.
See, they
three boys.
So that's the right car. The Camaro would be useless for that. So
useless.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dude, don't underestimate a badass minivan. You know, they do some damage.
Depends who's driving it, right?
Does the Camaro have a vacuum cleaner in it?
It does. It can't fit one.
It can't fit one.
Does it have a rear
garage?
It's a pain in the butt. You know, the minivan is nice. I get it. There's positive and negatives here, guys.
Does it have a rear view mirror inside the Camaro? So you can see the back seat?
This is just off topic. Elio, I went to dinner last night with Elio. He's been here. He drove the two-seater today.
Yes, he did.
he was Mario today out there.
He thought he was.
Yeah, he was trying to be. But they gave him a Camaro SS at the rental car agency.
Oh, that's a mistake.
I got in the car with him. The rearview mirror, it's a projected screen.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just
no longer a mirror. Yeah.
It's the coolest thing.
So he spent his whole time looking at himself, doing his hair.
No, but it was like the sports cars, actually, like you guys drive. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was clearer than actually having a mirror.
That's cool.
It was awesome, yeah.
Nice.
So shout out to Chevy.
Yeah, shout out to Chevy. Right there. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Good product.
There you go.
Your Chevy doesn't have dual DVD players in it.
I tell you what, it's not a bad end to the weekend when you get an astronaut to give you a prize and you go home with a cowboy hat.
I'm a happy boy. I'm ready to go back to Nashville.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it.
Travel safe. We'll talk to you again.
You have a great night in Austin. It's a good time to have fun with.
Yeah, have some fun here.
Keep wearing those hats.
Is he going to grab the champagne?
Oh, yeah, no. He got it.
Ryan Hunter-Reay, Joseph Newgarden, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Second and third in the race, and of course the race win going to Colton Herta, who's in a sea of fans and interviews right now. No question about it.
And Sean Walker with Haggerty. We got the Haggerty question in.
Good choice of cars.
He got excited, didn't he?
He did.
Hey,
he did.
You ask a car guy about a car.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah,
I love it.
Hey, yeah, yeah. And the Camaro, too.
Exactly.
All right, I think I'm hearing a cue. We got to take a break, it sounds like. We're almost up at the end of the hour, so I'm waiting for the producer to let me know. Yeah, we got to go to a break. All right, listen to Speed City. We're live at Circuit of the Americas. Back up these messages.
Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Haggerty.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know a Buzz Motorcycle Shop.
Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin, it is now Revell's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused, but there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Revell'sHeavyDuty.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talk 1370.
Speed City's coverage of the 2019 IndyCar Classic at Circuit of the Americas is brought to you by Haggerty.
Welcome back to Circuit of the Americas. It's John Masagel sitting in the booth out here with Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser, Sean Walker from Haggerty. Successful weekend, guys. What do you think, Jonathan?
Well, the future of American motorsport is alive and kicking, and the future is looking really bright. I mean, Colton Herta, 18 years of age, we couldn't ask for more than that.
Yeah. Les, what do you think?
Oh, man. You know, just the scene of fans all around having such a great day out here. And the tailgating, huge tailgating population all over the parking lots. They were here to stay and having a great time.
Hey, I got to ask you too, Sean Walker with Haggerty. You got to go over in the booth and talk to the nation. That was pretty cool too, right?
I did. Yeah, absolutely. You know, today was, like I said at the top of the broadcast, it's never a bad day if it's race day.
Yeah.
Right? I enjoyed walking the paddocks, seeing the cars up close and personal, talking to some drivers, and being able to go over there and be on the national broadcast was awesome.
And also seeing the cars in the parking lot. That's always one of the, for you guys at Haggerty, that's one of the great things.
Well, I'm always looking at the cars in the parking lot.
If I'm ever late to the booth, guys, that's generally what's happened to me. Is I've gotten distracted by the cars in the parking lot. I love it when the guys all come in together, not even officially corrals, just come in together and park next to each other in the Camaros or the Corvettes or the 911s or whatever.
Like I said, love seeing the right hand.
Sylvia, there. I saw that. That's so funny.
I saw the McLaren Senna parked out yesterday.
All right, guys. Well, we got to wrap it up. I got the message from the producer over the mic, so I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Haggerty for making this happen, and thanks to everybody for listening. And, of course, check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy trails.
Ciao, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.